Agree or disagree.
Now, as conflicts in Africa and the Middle East show no signs of letting up, more and more people flee their homes in an attempt to get to a safer place, even if getting there means a greater threat to their lives. A record number of refugees are putting their lives in the hands of smugglers to get across the Mediterranean to Europe, and the rise in the numbers of those who don't make it is staggering. In 2014, an estimated 102,000 people have crossed the Mediterranean to Italy, and the number is close to three times the number that arrived in 2013. Human rights organizations are calling for urgent and concerted action from the European governments. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Marina Joshi, and today I'm joined by Glenn Ford, who's a former MEP and a member of the Anti-Nazi League, to discuss the situation around the immigration issue to Europe from Africa. Thank you very much, Mr. Ford, for joining us here on radio.
It's a pleasure.
I'd like to begin by asking you, what is your perception of the situation? How would you characterize it?
We have an increasing number of refugees from both North Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa, and along with that, we're from Syria. Actually, if you want, fleeing their own countries and trying to get into the European Union, where they believe that the situation for them in the medium and long term will be much better. They go through a very painful process of getting here, and as we're well aware, hundreds, thousands of them actually lose their lives in the very risky crossings across the Mediterranean to Italy and elsewhere. But until we resolve the problems they're facing in Africa and sub-Saharan Africa, I think the numbers will continue to increase.
Well, that's absolutely a sad reality at the moment. But what can be done to curb those numbers, and what can be done to change the situation?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's a degree of unhappiness in the European Union, part of it justified and a part of it racist about the numbers of people who are fleeing. The European Union generally has had a very good reputation of looking after people fleeing from a well-founded fear of persecution. And it's certainly the case that in large parts of Africa, places like Eritrea, one understands why people want to flee from what is a pretty awful regime. Equally, at the same time, you've got in places, again in Libya, you've got what is essentially now a failed state. The same in Syria, they're not traveling in the same route, and you do have persecution in Egypt, so one kind of understands. But alongside those asylum seekers, we've got what are economic migrants coming across, because those are mainly from sub-Saharan Africa, where they actually see the prospects for, if you want, for themselves and their children in the short to medium term as being rather better than at home, where they don't have the opportunities that are available in the European Union, even with the kind of discrimination that they actually face.
See, that's the problem, because there are so many people fleeing their home countries. And fair enough, I mean, they're fleeing from a very dangerous situation, and they want to get to safety, to a better life. You cannot blame them for that. But Europe itself is now not in a very good shape economically and otherwise, and it seems that it cannot just take in everyone who needs help.
If we try and get the numbers in perspective, I mean, if one uses the example of Syria, I mean, Turkey is facing the prospect of receiving hundreds of thousands of refugees, you know, almost monthly coming in from Syria and elsewhere. And you've got all of the problems with ISIS in Syria and Iraq, which is generating yet more. The numbers we're talking about are an order of magnitude, if not more, lower than that. Now, it is a problem. No one's suggesting it isn't. And the trouble is that there's not very much burden sharing, in that the countries like Malta, countries like or southern Italy and, you know, southern Spain actually face the difficulties to an extent that's not true elsewhere in the European Union. But one of the first things we can do is to try and use a common foreign and security policy to actually try and resolve some of the problems in these countries. People don't leave their homelands lightly. It's only when they feel they've really got no alternative.
And also, you know, becoming victims to smugglers who charge a lot of money, because for a lot of people, crossing the Mediterranean from their homelands is not free. I mean, they pay huge sums of money.
Absolutely not. People are massively exploited. And of course, the smugglers generate the business. There is an industry now, and some people make vast sums of money while others risk and lose their lives. One of the other areas we need is some control over the smugglers. But when you've got a failed state like Libya at the moment, which is on the verge of civil war, it's hardly realistic to imagine that the authorities there, whatever remains, are going to spend their time focusing on smuggling operations of sub-Saharan Africans and Libyans fleeing across the Mediterranean to Europe.
When they arrive to Italy, to other European countries, Greece, for example, and then somehow find their way in Germany, France, and other countries of the Bloc, most of the time, these people are left unattended. They don't have any means to support themselves. They cannot receive a status of an asylum seeker because apparently it takes a while to get the status.
You know, let's be frank. I mean, there certainly are people who would meet the criteria of asylum seekers amongst those that are fleeing. One example I used was Eritrea. You could certainly make a case for certain people from Egypt, from Libya, and in as much as they would come the same route from Syria. But many of the people who come are from sub-Saharan Africa. In the large majority of those cases, they really aren't asylum seekers. They're economic migrants.
That's right. But what can you do with them? I mean, how can you differentiate? Because there's so many people. And literally, I don't know, maybe you can clarify this, but do people on the ground in Italy, those who work for immigration centers or human rights organizations, are there enough hands, so to speak, to deal with these immigrants, to actually talk to them, to look at their application forms, and to separate, you know, economic immigrants from genuine asylum seekers?
Well, I mean, the answer is I really don't know, but all the evidence is I suspect not, because the scale of the problem has gone up enormously. It's going up almost month by month, so yes, it's unlikely the necessary facilities are in place. That's one of the problems we face. We're torn in the sense that many of these immigrants are illegal immigrants. But on the other hand, nobody wants to consign hundreds of people to watery graves because they're not being picked up when they're in trouble in the Mediterranean by European ships. And the recent case was the Cypriot cruise liner, I think, which picked up 300 or 400 migrants who were in a ship that was sinking in the Mediterranean and took them to Cyprus.
Agree or disagree?
I'm joined by Glenn Ford, who's a former MEP and a member of the Anti-Nazi League, to discuss the situation around the immigration issue to Europe from Africa. Well, Europe at the moment is not doing very well economically either, and having an extra burden of people to deal with and give a helping hand may prove to be tough for the European economy. I mean, how fair is it to demand from European parliaments to be able to fully accommodate these people?
Firstly, I mean, Europe is not in a good situation, and no one would want to argue that that's the case. But, I mean, compared to the situation many of these people face, I mean, it's a very good situation. Actually, very few of these people actually end up relying on, if you want, handouts from the state. They end up in the low-wage jobs that for them are high-wage, but certainly are not the kind of job that Europeans generally want to get. Migrants who came across from Ceuta and Melilla, not many people know, but there are two parts of Spain, actually on the African coast, and large numbers of Algerians and sub-Saharan Africans actually get into Ceuta and Melilla, then transported generally after a period of time to Spain, where they tend to work in horticulture and agriculture.
That happens if they're lucky, you know, if they can't fill in the positions where locals are not willing to fill in. But sometimes it so happens that these people, the immigrants who are eager to get any job to support themselves, they fall into the hands of, again, people who exploit them. And some of them turn into slaves. That happens as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's a problem, if you want, inside nation states. I mean, certainly in the United Kingdom, where I come from, we had a problem four or five years ago with a group of Chinese sort of whelk pickers who were drowned, having been left out there picking whelks when the tide was coming in. And that tragedy led to a gangmaster's bill that, if you want, made some of the practices that they suffered illegal in the United Kingdom. And certainly issues like the minimum wage. The difficulty is, of course, that many of them, when they're illegal, actually don't feel able to complain to authorities. And a lot of the sex trafficking is with, if you want, illegal immigrants.
Well, immigration has also become a political topic in many European countries, partly because there are anti-immigration attitudes and moods, and politicians have to address, you know, have to adjust to these moods from the population, from the locals. Do you think that this is the reason sometimes why things are not addressed as promptly as they should be? Because, you know, integrating immigrants into the economy will be tough for European countries at the moment due to a lot of reasons and economic reasons included.
There is a recognition that were we to improve conditions and it to become clear that conditions were being sharply improved, then that would lead to an increase in the numbers of people who wanted to come. There was a rather ridiculous suggestion some years ago that we should be putting up signs in North Africa and sub-Saharan Africa saying how bad the European economy is and how little people earned. And the point I made at the time was actually you're telling people that they're earning 10 times or 50 times a day what they're actually earning back home. That's going to only encourage people. So I don't think you put people off in that way by telling them how bad conditions are. But I do think, yes, we do need to find some way of dealing with the problem, both in terms of accepting those that are asylum seekers and dealing with the illegal economic migrants who need to be sent back from where they come from. But, of course, that's easier said than done.
Well, you're a member of the Anti-Nazi League, but what do you make of the situation with immigrants in light of xenophobic moods, which are on the rise in some of the countries?
Yes, we've seen a growth of racism and xenophobia across the European Union in a variety of guises, ranging from from the extreme Nazi right of people like Golden Dawn in Greece, through Jobbik in Hungary, via a lighter and milder form, but still very unpleasant, of the Front National in France and the United Kingdom Independence Party. But they're not all dealing with the same problem. The big opposition in the United Kingdom at the moment, and if you want the movement of Europeans, the problem in the United Kingdom is Romanians, Bulgarians and Poles, all of whom are legally allowed to move around the European Union. It's a very different problem in southern Italy and in Malta, where you're talking about the people we're talking about now, which are North Africans and sub-Saharan Africans coming on boats across the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Very few of those make their way to the United Kingdom, and that's one of the arguments that's being raised by the Maltese and the Italians. This is a European problem, but they're being left to face it alone.
Yeah, why is it that so few of them get to the UK? I mean, does the UK have different rules and regulations of letting in immigrants and asylum seekers?
Well, I mean, these are people who come into Italy. We have our own border controls. We're not part of the Schengen. There is free movement for residents of the European Union, but for non-residents of the European Union to get into the United Kingdom, you actually need a visa. And we have problems. We've had them fairly recently where you have significant numbers, hundreds, not tens of thousands, but hundreds of immigrants actually in Calais trying to find ways to get across the United Kingdom because they think things are better there.
Okay. And is the UK government doing anything to help them?
The UK government is doing very little to help them. What we have done, I think, I'm trying to remember the number, but we offered £12 million to the Calais authorities to help them improve their security to stop these people getting on trains and boats to the United Kingdom.
On the one hand, we have a humanitarian catastrophe when people are desperate to leave their homes to reach safety. But on the other, they become a problem for the host countries when locals are not happy to receive and give shelter to so many people in need.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, but if we look at some of the immigration waves in the past, and I know the United Kingdom best, but there were waves in Jewish migrants from Tsarist Russia back in the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s. At the time, they were very unwelcome. There were organizations founded to try and deter them, the Britons League. But actually, they've integrated extremely well. And now many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in Britain are actually employed by the descendants of these very people that weren't wanted back 110 years ago.
It was a different wave of immigration, a wave of immigrants. They were all educated immigrants. They had something to offer.
I'm not sure that all of the
maybe not all of them, but a lot of them.
All the Jews who fled from the pogroms in Russia were actually educated and spoke good English and the rest.
In the situation that we see now, I mean, lots of those immigrants and asylum seekers who jump on the boats, you know, not all of them can offer qualified skills and they're not qualified to do a lot of jobs. So here it's a very difficult situation. And a lot of the time they find themselves received in a very hostile way by the locals because, you know, the locals look at them as, you know, they are taking away their jobs and benefits. And another thing is with immigration is how to integrate those people because they come from the cultures that are very different from European cultures, be it religious or ethnic aspects. aspects, so they too need to be somehow integrated. Well, Glenn, at this point, I'd like to remind our listeners that we're discussing the situation with immigrants from Africa to Europe, and my guest today is Glenn Ford, who's a former MEP and a member of the Anti-Nazi League. We will have a break now, but when we return, we'll discuss the issue in more detail.